Bibles and go to the book of Genesis chapter 22, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 22. And I did want to make mention of one more thing. Of course, Sunday morning, regular adult class is in here that Brother Dana is helping them with. And that is a big help to us. So then we can take a few weeks to work with our newly saved Christians, new converts class. And that's going to start this Sunday morning. And that is very, very important, church, for us as a church to do. The idea is not just to help bring people to Christ, but help people grow and get established and, set them up for best success in serving the Lord. And so we're really excited about that class that's going to be starting on Sunday morning. And again, it's an answer to prayer for Brother Dana to be able to help in here. But I'm also praying about some more things, church. I've got so many things. If I was to share everything with you, it honestly would scare you. It really would. So because of that, I don't talk about everything all at one time. And that there's going to be some more time coming. I'm already praying and planning for things for next year. So you really think that far ahead? Yes, I actually do. There'll be a Vision Sunday coming up that we'll plan. And we're going to share a lot of those kind of things with you. And that way you can pray with us. But the one other thing I did want to share with you is we are praying about a couple more classes. We need a class specifically for our teenagers, and we need a class specifically for our children. And so we're praying about those, that the Lord would help in those areas, and I've already talked to a couple of folks about those things. So you pray with us about that. And so then we would have an adult class in here, class for our teenagers, class for young people, and then our new Christians class. Now, I want you to know the intent of the new Christians class is for that to keep cycling over. In other words, there's going to be a fresh crop every 13 weeks. More people get saved. And then we'll start a new class again. So you be in prayer about those things with us. Genesis chapter 22, and let's start reading in verse 1. If you found your place, I ask you to stand in reverence to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him of. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I will go. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Verse 6, Abraham took the sword and the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and took the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And he came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Let not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and grace. Thank you for allowing us to be here. God, thank you for the time of prayer. Thank you for the time of praise. And Father, we know, Lord, that God, you're still answering prayer. We give you praise and glory for that. Father, we ask if you would meet us now for the next few moments. We pray that you'd help minimize distractions. Help us to focus on the word and the message at hand. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Going to preach for a few moments, church, on the thought of a true test of faith. A true test of faith. Now understand, up until this point, a lot has happened to get to where we are right now. And a lot has happened and going on in these next 14 verses that we're going to try to get through tonight. Lord will, we'll get as far as the Lord wants us to get. But understand that if you look back to when we started this series on dealing with the journey, that there was a couple of occasions where Abraham's faith was tested, and some would say that maybe he failed concerning his test of faith. And the examples, of course, in one that we talked about not too long ago, maybe a week or two ago, when he had went again and said that, you know, Sarah was his sister, and you remember that story. And obviously in that particular moment, he apparently didn't have enough faith to believe that God would protect him and his family. But what has happened here before we have even come to this place? A lot has transpired. I think that Abraham has grown a lot spiritually speaking before we come to this true test of faith, or this test of faith as we see. If you notice, in fact, in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Now, when the Bible says tempt here, understand and know that what we're talking about here is actually a test. It's not a tempt as in I'm tempting you to do wrong. It's a test, and that's literally what it means in this portion of Scripture, in this passage of Scripture of what we're looking at. And it's important to know, church, as we're on the journey, and as we live and we walk this Christian life, there's going to be places in life where God is going to test your faith. Now, what's about to happen here, some could argue that this is probably the greatest test that Abraham has ever faced in his life. I mean, he is literally about to, God told him to go and to sacrifice his son. Now, as we just read, we know that didn't actually happen. But God wanted to know that he was willing to do that. Now, let me say this, church, that oftentimes that when you're going to get busy about serving God, just go ahead and know that your faith is going to be tested. Right. Amen. The Bible says, yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. So there's going to be testing. There's going to be persecution. And I want to say this to you. One of the biggest misconceptions about serving God and being in God's will is we think that any obstacles or any opposition comes along the way, then it must not be God's will. It must not be God's will because we've had a hard time with this. It must not be God's will because I'm not feeling this. It must not be God's will because I don't quite understand everything. And friend, just because this hasn't been easy, just because you haven't felt it the way you should, just because you're not as excited as you need to be, does not mean that it's not God's will. So just know and understand that these kind of things are going to happen when God puts you in a place of greater service. And so we see that, first of all, in verse number 1, that this is an obvious test from God. Now, I do think that things happen in life that sometimes we don't know and sometimes we don't understand. But many times it is a simple test, right? I do think that sometimes we obviously bring things upon ourselves, and the things that happen are a result of our choices and our decisions that we made and consequences of sin, if you will. And then we find in Scripture that unfortunately sometimes they're a result of someone else's sin. Probably a perfect example of that would be Achan, in that not just he was punished, but his family was punished as well. And furthermore, it hindered the progress of the nation of Israel. A victory that they should have had and won, they didn't because of Achan's sin. But then we come to this passage here, and there's times where we face trials and oppositions or storms, however you want to call them. But what they actually are is a test of faith. Now, before I move on, I also want to point out that before God gave Abraham his greatest blessing, he gave him the greatest test. And oftentimes, before God sends a great blessing in your life, dear friend, God will send a great test in your life before he sends out a great blessing. And that's kind of what's going on right here. So we see that, first of all, in verse number 1, that this is a test from coming from the Lord himself. In verse number 2, second of all, we see the commandment of God. He gives specific instructions on what he wants Abraham to do. And he said, Now take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, one upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, the very first test of obedience that we've seen Abraham follow through in the, as far as in our study was concerned, was when God told Abraham to get yourself and your family and leave your father's house and go to a land that I will tell you of, right? That was a test of faith, and Abraham, of course, passed that test. He was obedient to God. And let me remind you again, since we're talking about that thought in this verse, is that oftentimes that is part of what will happen in God's will, is that God will have you get up and go and literally take you out of your comfort zone and basically commanding you or forcing you to put your faith and trust in Him to get to that place where God wants you to serve, right? And so obviously Abraham had to leave at that particular time. He had to leave his father's house. He had to leave his home country. He had to leave where he was used to being and where he was comfortable and go where God had told him to go. So that was a test of faith. But this test right here, church, this text, it's a whole different level. God is telling him, Abraham, I want you to take your son, which I know that you love. I mean, up until this point in what we've been studying, Isaac just recently came upon the scene as far as in our as far as our study has been concerned. Up until this point, it's been waiting for Isaac and waiting for the son and, you know, dealing with the fact that Abraham and Sarah thought that they were past the age of conception and, you know, surely God can't give us a child. And finally, here's Isaac, and the thing that he's been waiting for literally all of his life, God says, I want you to sacrifice that. I want you to go here. I want you to sacrifice that. So in verse 1, we see the testing of God. In verse 2, we see the commandment of God. In verse 3, we see a plan by Abraham. Now, in verse 3, the Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him of. So obviously he made a plan. He made preparations to obey God. It's a reminder to us, church, that when God puts a calling on our life, when God has a service for us to do, then plans and preparations should be met. I believe that the work of God is worth preparing for. Amen. Let me give you an example. When if God calls a fellow to preach, then that's a call for preparation. Amen. That's a call to prepare and plan for preparation. I remember several years ago at 14 years old, when God called us to preach, the very first thing that we did is I went and talked to our pastor about it, and then he was a great blessing to me in that he got me to preach the very next night. So what did you do? I was, first of all, I was scared out of my mind, and I didn't know what to do, and so all I did was read a portion of Scripture and hollered for a little bit, and read a portion of Scripture and hollered for a little bit, and 24 years later, I still do the same thing. I grab a portion of Scripture, and I holler for a little bit, and grab another one and holler for a little bit. But nevertheless, my point is, even at 14 years old, God was already making plans and preparations and showing me things that He wanted me to do. I was in high school at the time, and I thought, what kind of classes could I take that would help me in the ministry? And I got to looking down the list, and there wasn't very many. But there was two that I thought maybe would be a blessing. One was home ec. I thought, well, you know, pastors ought to be hospitable. Maybe I ought to learn to cook something. And literally, I started cooking then, taking home ec. The other one was public speaking. Now, it's not the same thing as preaching or homiletics, but nevertheless, it got me the idea of having to stand up, which I did not want to do, in front of people and share something, right? So I took those things. What were they? They were plans and preparation. You know why often we fail, church, at the calling of God in our life? Because we made no plans and preparations to do the work of God. So if God has placed a calling in your life, if God places a vision on our heart or a direction for the church for or a ministry to have or a particular need, then we ought to make plans and preparations for that. And the same principle applies, friend, in your personal life. So we see there that Abraham made plans. The other thing I want to say is that I don't see anywhere, now nobody take this wrong, okay? Nobody take this wrong, what I'm about to say. I don't see anywhere where he went and asked Sarah what she thought about God's plan, what God had ordered him to do. Because I think Mama Sarah would have probably had a few things to say about it. Oh, you are not taking my son up there on that mountain, right? You're not taking, oh no, we've waited too long for this. Abraham, you have lost your mind. Abraham, you've gone senile on me now. I mean, I love you. We've been together too long, but this is just something I cannot let you do. Right? Now, I don't know if he did or not. I'm just saying that it doesn't say that he did. Right? What Abraham did do is that he took what God said and put a plan in action to perform it. You know what oftentimes happens? Is that we know God lays something upon us, and then we say, you know what? Well, I really need to think about this. Now, let me say this. I'm not telling you not to pray about God's will for your life. All I'm telling you is that there's certain things that we know revealed in the Scripture that are clearly God's will for our life. We don't have to pray about those things, right? Well, Pastor, I'm going to pray about getting baptized. Well, you don't need to pray about what God's already said do. Amen? Well, Pastor, I need to pray about whether I should be a soul winner or not, whether I should share the gospel. You don't have to pray about what God's already told you to do. Now, you should pray God help you. You should pray that the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and direction and Lord, open up a door. God, send somebody my way. I want to be a witness. I want to share the gospel. Those are the kind of things we should pray about, not whether we should actually do what God says that we should do. I believe that Abraham knew that this was clearly, obviously, what God wanted him to do. And he didn't take time to say, well, I need to think about this thing. Probably I need a counsel. No, God said do it, and he put a plan into action. So we see in verse number 1, the testing of God. Verse number 2, the commandment of God. Verse number 3, the plan and preparation of Abraham. And let's look at verse number 4. I believe that Abraham had some steadfastness concerning God's will for his life. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, when you read that text, you think, well, there's not a whole lot said there, but hang on a second. This was the third day. They had been traveling for 3 days. Do you know what happens when you're about to do something that you don't really want to do and you've had 3 days to think about it? Oftentimes you start to question and wonder, should I really go through with this thing? Is this really what God wants? Does God really? Did I understand? Maybe I didn't understand the Lord quite right. I just don't believe that God would really want me to sacrifice my son. He's had 3 days. Going back to what I started off by saying, church, this is important. I hope you get this. When we start to have any opposition or problem, or we start to think about things too much, we often will start to question in the night what God revealed in the light. And what I mean by that is that God made something real clear to you. God revealed His will for your life. And then time goes on, and then we think about it some more, or we face some opposition, and then we start to question whether it's actually God's will or not. Abraham had some steadfastness about him in that he received God's will, he knew God's plan, he heard the commandment of God, and he stuck with the plan. Amen? He didn't go a day and a half and say, well, maybe I ought to turn back and just think about this a little bit longer. Had he done that, maybe he had never gone. I don't know. What I'm saying, friend, is just a reminder to you, when God puts a calling on your life, when God puts a plan for you, when He reveals His will, you better be prepared to be steadfastness. Because eventually you're going to have time to think about it. And guess who wants to come in and cause seeds of doubt? To question God's word. For the record, who's been doing that from the beginning of time? Yea, hath God said. That's the devil, folks. Since the very beginning of time, the devil has questioned the word of God. Hey, can I remind you that God is not the author of confusion? So that doesn't come from the Lord. We know exactly who that comes from. And right, I mean, you get over to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll find right from the very beginning that the devil has tried to call seeds of doubt and have you question what it is that thus saith the Lord. It was probably not much different here, but yet Abraham never turned back. He probably had to be wondering in his mind, thinking about this journey for 3 days, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to follow through? We see there in verse number 4 the steadfastness of Abraham. Let's look at verse number 5. Let's talk a little bit about the expression of faith from Abraham. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And come again unto you. You know what he's saying here, friend? He's saying that me and my son, we're going to go over there and worship. Now, keep in mind this whole time that Abraham's thinking, I have to sacrifice my son. But then he's saying, hey, we're going to come back to you. Right? Not just himself. His plan is not just himself to come back. So Abraham must have accepted the fact that God's going to do something. I don't know exactly what God's going to do, but he's going to do something. That is an expression of faith. That is a step of faith, because he literally was believing in something that he had not yet seen yet. Is that not what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's called faith. Does not James chapter 2 talk about how Abraham was justified by his faith and by his works of righteousness? Now, let me just say this, folks, that we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. And there is a difference, amen? There's a difference in intent, and there's a difference in motivation. I will never, ever tell you that you have to work for your salvation, because it's scripturally untrue. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But because we are saved, kind of like the Apostle Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth me. That's our motivation for service, friend. But see, there was an expression of faith when he said, hey, we'll come back and worship with you. You guys just hang out here. You watch the mules. You watch everything else. We're going to go worship and we'll be right back. That's a step of faith. I don't know if he thought, well, if I do slay my son, God will raise him up from the dead. Must have been what was going through his mind. I don't know. What I do know is that Abraham knew that they were both coming back. Right? Kind of remind me where Jesus was asleep in the boat. Y'all remember that? The storm came. And Jesus was so worried about it that he took a nap. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm worried. I don't sleep very well. Is anybody else here like that at all? Right? But just a little statement where Jesus said, let us go unto the other side. Jesus already intended to be at the other side. So that tells us they were going to make it to the other side. Just a little bit of an expression like that. So oftentimes it's our expressions, our faith that we need to watch. Well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Friend, you know why I believe oftentimes why things don't happen? I remember hearing a story about Charles Spurgeon, about a young pastor that came to him. And he said, you know, Brother Spurgeon, I've really been praying that people get saved every service. Every time we have church, I've been praying that people get saved. And Spurgeon looked at the young man and he said, now, you don't really believe that somebody's going to get saved every service, do you? And he said, well, no, not really. He said, that's why you're not having people saved every service. And see, church, oftentimes things are not happening because we don't actually believe that God will do it. We don't actually believe that God can do it, and God can. This was an expression of faith that Abraham made. Verse number 6, we see the worship of Abraham. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they, both of them, went together. So we see here that Abraham had full intention. You know, keep in mind that a sacrifice is a part of worship, right? Say, why does that matter, Pastor? Why are we even bringing that up in this verse? Because oftentimes when you're in the middle of the greatest test of your life, it's not easy to worship. It's not easy to worship. But yet, that's exactly what Abraham did. Even with everything that he's going through, even with what in his mind is about to happen to his son, he didn't change his plan for worship. And friends, you know what often happens and where the devil gets little victories in our life, where we're going through a great test in our life, and we think that the one thing that, well, I just don't want to bring a bad spirit, and we cut out the worship. We cut out, well, you know, I just wouldn't be too friendly in church today. Well, I've been around some of you a long time. You're not friendly anyway. I'm just kidding. That's just to get you to smile a little bit, okay? But my point is, the one thing that we cut out is the worship. And that's the thing that we need to have the most. We need that the most, church. That's not a time during the greatest test and the greatest trial to start cutting out the worship. Abraham still was following through with his worship. He was still preparing and doing everything that he had fully intended to do, even though he was in the middle of his greatest test. In verses number 7 and 8, I believe we see some guidance here that he gave to his son. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, it's important to understand that Isaac knew what was going on as far as what a sacrifice was, how it was done, what the process was. And he's literally saying, Dad, you know, there's a fire, there's wood. You know, we've got all the tools. Where's the lamb? He knew that there had to be a lamb sacrifice, that something had to be sacrificed. They don't just go and do a sacrifice. They don't go to this part of the worship without having the sacrifice. Verse number 8, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they both went of them together. I really love the fact that even through Abraham's greatest test, he gave direction and guidance to his son. He said, Isaac, don't worry about that. God's going to take care of that. God's going to take care of that, Isaac. It's going to be okay. But you know what I'm afraid of, church, and probably most of us are guilty, including myself, that during these greatest tests and these trials in our life, you do realize that our kids watch us and see what's going on. And oftentimes it's in those moments where kids will say, Hey, is this going to be all right? And our response is something of the nature, Well, I just don't know how it's going to turn out. When really our response is, God's going to take care of it, son. It's going to be all right because God has it under control. Now, you may not know how it's going to be. Abraham didn't know. Abraham didn't know how it was all going to be taken care of. But what you do know is that God's going to take care of it, friend. So even during the time of crisis or time of testing, we can and should still be a guidance to our family. Verses number 9 and 10 will witness the obedience of Abraham. In verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. Let me back up. In verse number 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And then Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Here we'll see the obedience of Abraham. He had an expression of faith in that he believed that he and his son were coming back. Hey, we're going to go worship. We're going to go do this thing that God said to do. We'll be back. So he believed that his son was going to survive. But here we actually see a true step or a true picture of obedience. You know, oftentimes we talk about doing things, but he's doing it. And he's actually going through with this. Abraham is actually going through and being obedient to what God wanted him to do. And friend, if we can't ever get to the place where we're obedient to the Lord, then friend, honestly, we're not going to get very far in our Christian service. Because understand that part of the idea of obedience is that oftentimes you do things that you don't necessarily want to do. Nobody can convince me that Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son. But he believed God. He trusted God that God was going to take care of it. So obedience, friend, or even submission. You know, when you submit to something or you submit to authority, it's not always what you want to do. But Abraham was obedient to what God told him to do. He went through the whole practice. He showed up, he took the knife, and he was ready to slay his son. But two, let me tell you this on that thought, church, that you know what I've come to find out? If we're not obedient to the Lord, we're not obedient to many areas in our life. We probably struggle with our employers. Children, you probably struggle with your parents' authority. Church members, oftentimes we struggle with the authority that God has established in the church, and it just goes on down the line. We can go on and on. But we struggle with even obeying the Lord. Obviously, He's the most important one we should obey. But we're going to struggle in many areas of our life. But we see there as we're moving along here, just to kind of get us up to where we were, we've talked about the testing of God, the commandment of God in verse 2, the plan of God in verse 3, the steadfastness of Abraham in verse 4, the faith of Abraham in verse 5, the worship of Abraham in verse 6, the guidance of Abraham verses 7 and 8, the obedience of Abraham in verses 9 and 10. Then let's look here for a moment at the intervention of God. In verses 11 and 12, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Let not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. So here God intervened. God sent the angel, intervened, and God stopped Abraham, said, don't harm him, don't slay him. You pass the test. What I wanted to see, Abraham, was your willingness. Now, there's two things. We just talked about obedience. Let me talk about willingness. I remember the youth group and some of our staff here not that long ago went to West Branch camp up in Williams, Arizona this last summer. It's also known as the Bill Rice Ranch. Some of you may have heard of him. I went there when I was a young teenager myself, and I remember one particular service, he made an announcement. He said, I want to talk to all the preacher boys after the service. And I thought, well, I was nervous, and I didn't know what he was going to say, and I thought he was going to quiz me on some things about the Bible that I didn't know, or, you know, I didn't know what was going on. So I stayed, and he said, gentlemen, I just want to be an encouragement to you. He said, there's two things that you're going to need to serve the Lord. He said, number one, you're going to need willingness, and number two, you're going to need obedience. He said, you got to have them both. He said, you got to be willing, you got to be obedient. If you're going to get anywhere in ministry, you got to be willing, and you got to be obedient. We've just seen that here, that Abraham was obedient, but Abraham was also willing. He was willing to do whatever it is that God wanted him to do. It brings us to the question, friend, are you literally willing to do whatever it is that God wants you to do? Are you willing to sacrifice whatever it is that God wants you to sacrifice? Friend, there's been times where sacrifices for jobs had to be met to further the work of God, to the ministry. There's been times where personal sacrifices have to be met because of something concerning the work of God. But, you know, we're living in a day where, you know, really churches, if it's convenient, we're living in a day where church is more of an afterthought. You know, we've got such busy schedules, but the reality is, friend, I'm telling you this because this is what the Lord has said, not me, but God wants us to be faithful. God wants us, I don't believe that God ever wants church to be an afterthought. I don't think God ever intended of church to be, if we have time. But see, friend, we have to be willing to be obedient sometimes to make sacrifices. Hey, I'll be honest, it's a sacrifice to be here sometimes. It is. You say, well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You have to be here. I understand that. I know that. It doesn't mean that it's not a sacrifice sometimes. Hey, I get tired like the next guy too. Hey, man, I get wore out too. Remember, we work a full-time job just like most of you do too, right? I know what it's like. You're here on Wednesday night. It's a sacrifice. In fact, you're here tonight. I commend you for that, church. Honestly, it's a sacrifice for you to be here. I know it is. I know it is. You know, even for our retired folks, hey, I get it. I know sometimes it's not easy to drive at night. And you know, we think about that as being, you know, that's not a big deal. But To them, it might be church. I've been in preaching long enough that sometimes folks say, "Pastor, I want to come, but I'm really scared about driving tonight," but then they come anyway, making a sacrifice. So you think those things, they do matter, folks. But all I'm saying is that if we're going to get busy about serving the Lord, you have to understand that sometimes sacrifices have to be made. And generally, those sacrifices take us out of our comfort zone. You can't tell me that this was comfortable. Who is comfortable with going through the process of getting ready to slay their own children? That's not comfortable. So we've seen the intervention of God after God seen the willingness of Abraham to give the thing that probably he loved most. I mean, here was the promise that God had finally gave him, and he was willing to sacrifice it. Then the last thing we're going to see here this evening in church is we're going to see the substitute for Abraham, or I should say Isaac, in verses 13 and 14. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So we see here that there was a substitute for his son. In the stead, that literally means a substitute. Abraham had already made the statement that God would provide himself a lamb, and he did, didn't he? Now, Abraham, I think, probably wasn't quite sure how exactly it was going to work out. He just knew that, hey, God's going to take care of it. But you know what I really, really love of what we've just read here, church, the picture of what just happened here? God's test for Abraham was that he wanted to see if he was willing to sacrifice, willing to do whatever it took to obey him, to follow his will. He wanted to see his willingness to do it. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. God never actually wanted him to slay his son. He wanted to see if he was willing to sacrifice his son. But let me explain something to you, friend. Do you realize that that's exactly what God did? Do you realize that that is literally what God did for us when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God was more than just willing. Jesus was more than just willing. That is literally what he did. Except for he was sacrificed in our stead. In our place, church. And so this was more than just, "I'm willing to do it," by Abraham showing and proving, "Lord, I am willing to do this." No, Jesus and the Lord, they actually did that. So what we see here, folks, is a picture of Christ, of what Christ did on the cross for you and I. Folks, if this is not a test of true faith, I don't know what it is. After all this, as we get on a little further down the road, then we see God's greatest blessing fulfilled through Abraham, through Isaac, as he promised. But it did not come until after the greatest test. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to encourage you to come tonight as the pianist plays. Maybe tonight God is testing your faith. The Bible teaches us that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God's got a reason for it. God's got a plan for it. And we've seen a wonderful, beautiful example of a man's willingness, his test of faith, to do and to give God whatever he wanted him to give. In fact, if you look at Abraham's life, a lot of it was a test of faith. Abraham, get up and go. Leave your family. Leave where you're comfortable and go. Abraham, go here. Abraham, sacrifice your son. On four occasions, even in our study, we've talked about the sacrifices of faith or the test of faith. And I believe tonight, friend, understand that this is a growth point in a Christian's life. These tests of faith, I believe, God will continue to send your way. But you know what I also believe? I also believe that God will continue to test your faith as you continue to grow. Everything that we see about the Word of God, God intends for us to grow. God intends for our faith to grow stronger. That's why we emphasize and been really sharing the thought of growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When your faith increases, you've grown. Are you willing tonight, friend, to sacrifice, to give up whatever it is the Lord wants you to do? Don't get confused and say, this has been hard, this is not God's will. Don't get confused and say, there's been too much opposition. That means it's not the Lord's will. In fact, friend, I would probably make a case the other way. The fact that it has been challenging, the fact that it has been hard, probably proves more that it is God's will. But friend, there's a blessing coming. The reward came after the test. And friend, God's trying to bring you to that place. God wants to bless you, friend. I believe He does. But maybe He's just waiting until after the test. He's waiting to see if you're willing to sacrifice. He's willing to see if you're waiting to see if you're willing to be obedient. Whatever your need is tonight, friend, I hope that you would surrender it to the Lord. I love that song that says, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. You know what we need today, church? We need some men and women who are willing to say, I surrender all to Jesus. We need some young men and women. We need some boys and girls that are say, I surrender all. That's what we need today, friend. If you're here tonight, dear friend, if you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I do want to encourage you. I do want to let you know that you can leave here with peace and assurance in your heart, that you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. So how's that done, Pastor? Well, first of all, a person must come to realize that you're a sinner. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Must also realize that there's a consequence for our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The good news is that God committeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then the Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here tonight, friend, God loves you. He loves you more than anyone else than you could ever believe or even fathom. In fact, in 1 John, the question is asked, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? His love is literally out of this world. Friend, there's nothing that can compare to it. He wants to save your soul if you're here tonight, friend. If you're here tonight, God loves you and He wants to save your soul. Let me ask this question. I'm going to pray. Say, Pastor, I believe that God is testing my faith. I wish that you'd pray for me. I wish you'd pray for me that I would take that step of faith and put my confidence and trust in the Lord. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I believe God's testing my faith. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. Pastor, I believe the Lord's testing my faith. Would you pray for me? Anybody here say, Preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, that I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Say, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, that I'd go to heaven. Anybody at all? I'm going to pray for you. Let us pray, church. Lord, we love you. Thank you God, for the truths that we've seen in the Scriptures today. And Lord, I am well aware of the fact that we have not even exhausted the passage. Well, there's even so much more. But Lord, I pray for those this evening who lifted their hands. Lord, they have acknowledged that they're going through a testing time. Lord, that you're testing their faith. Lord, they want to put their faith and confidence in you. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen them. Lord, I pray that you would increase their faith. Lord, I pray that they would put their full surrender on you. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to grow spiritually through this trial or faith or test that they're going through. God, let them come out stronger than before. Lord, if anybody is here tonight, even though none lifted their hands or listened to via live stream, never trusted you as their personal Savior, Lord, we especially want to pray for them tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help them realize their need for salvation, convict them of their need for salvation, help them to know that today is the day of salvation. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we go home, go our separate ways. Thank you for what you've done here tonight, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Good to have you all here this evening.